and you got something different this morning. So we're going to look at some things in the book of Jonah. So if you want to go ahead and get started turning there, that's where we'll be. We'll go to a couple other scriptures too, but we're going to be in that book. And while you're turning to the book of Jonah, I've got one for you this morning. I haven't had a joke for a while, but I have one this morning. An elderly pastor was searching his closet for a tie before church one Sunday morning. In the back of the closet, he found a small box containing 3 eggs and 100 $1 bills. He called his wife into the closet to ask about the box and its contents. Embarrassed, she admitted having hidden the box for the entire 30 years of their marriage. Disappointed and hurt, the pastor asked her, "Why?" The wife replied, she hadn't wanted to hurt his feelings. He asked how this box could have ever hurt his feelings. She said, "Well, every time during our marriage that you delivered a poor sermon, I placed an egg into the box." Pastor felt, well, 3 poor sermons in 30 years? That's clearly nothing to be sad about. So he asked her, "What about the $100? And she replied, "Every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them to the neighbor for a dollar." Well, I want to start out this morning asking a question. Did you ever find yourself in the middle of a situation and you go, "Man, I don't really know how this even happened"? Yeah, you made a commitment to stay on a diet, and 3 months later you find yourself on your third trip to the buffet table. It's happened to me. You committed to exercise, and it dawns on you one day that during the time you should be exercising, that you hadn't exercised in a month. You committed to change your spending habits and save money. 2 months in, you realize that somewhere you abandoned your entire plan and you hadn't saved a thing. At some point, in every situation like this, we find ourselves asking, "How did I get off course? And what's it going to take to get me back?" Well, this morning we're going to talk about that with the book of Jonah, like I told you earlier. You know, unlike the examples we talked about just a second ago, Jonah was different. He was boldly disobedient. He didn't come to his senses one day and say, "Man, I'm really off course here." He said, "No, God, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. I'm not going to do it." So let's look at it. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And here we see God speak to Jonah, and this is what he said. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now there's something you need to recognize here about the instruction that God gave Jonah versus the response. And what you need to recognize is that Tarshish was the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. So Jonah began to travel the exact opposite direction that God had asked him to hide from God. When God gave the instruction, what should Jonah have done? He should have listened. But instead, he went that complete opposite direction. He was running from God. He was saying, "God, I don't think so. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen." Don't we do the same thing as Christians sometimes? God clearly calls us in a direction, And we offer those famous words in response. You ever hear these? But God, you don't understand my situation. God, you don't get where I'm at. Then we go 100 miles an hour in the opposite direction of what God called us to. All the while, we try to pretend that we really didn't hear from God. Let's be honest. Every single one of us does this. There are some doing it right now. Right now, there are people sitting within earshot that are doing exactly that. I'm sure of it. They're saying, I don't think so, God. That's not for me. I'm not going to do it. Got to tell you a little story about myself here. I used to agitate my wife constantly with a phrase. She would lovingly try to give me some positive direction in a certain area. And I would say, there's one thing you need to know about me. I do what I want. And I said this jokingly, but I did, you know, just to irritate her. But sometimes, you know, we take that attitude with God. We say, God, I do what I want. You don't understand. Anybody ever find yourself in that situation? I have. But here's the thing. There's a huge problem with that attitude. There's a huge problem with that attitude of having that attitude that Jonah had. You see, you might get away with it for a little while, but God sees that disobedience. Even when we think He doesn't, it doesn't go unnoticed. He lovingly calls us back. And if we refuse to listen, He finds a way to get our attention, and sometimes another way, and another way, and another way. And it can be unpleasant. It can be an unpleasant experience, just like Jonah had. You see, Jonah headed in the opposite direction, being disobedient to God. God sent a storm. And I want you to listen up here this morning. God hasn't changed. He'll do this exact same thing in our lives. He sent a storm that was going to destroy that ship if the crew members didn't take action. And it didn't take long for that crew to recognize that Jonah was the problem. So the Bible says that they cast lots and found that Jonah was the problem. And you know what they did? That's right, they threw him overboard. Even though Jonah thought he could hide from God, he was finding out that wasn't the case. You see, he found himself thrown over in the sea in the midst of a storm that would almost certainly deliver death. And the next thing you know, he's in the belly of a fish. And he sees the fact that he's facing death. He knows it. And I want to look at what he did. I want to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you brought me up from the pit, Lord my God. When my soul fainted within, who regarded worthless idols, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And I want to jump down to verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. You know, if we were to continue reading in chapter 3, we would see that God spoke to Jonah a second time. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it the message that I tell you." This time, Jonah was obedient, and Nineveh repented of their wicked ways. So maybe right now, as you heard all this, you're saying, "Pastor, that's a wonderful account from God's Word." And most of us know that story well. But what does that have to do with us right now? And that's a valid question. And I want you to listen, because I want to make a comparison this morning. Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. He delivered God's message as God instructed. Right? We can all agree on that, right? With that in mind, I want you to hear another scripture. And it's one you know well. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, talking about the disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Again, this was the instruction given to the disciples to begin the New Testament church, right? We can agree on that too. Jesus said, "Come on, guys, it's time to get this thing started. Here's what I want you to do." You know, we are the New Testament church. And that task still rests in our lap. We are no different than Jonah. God has given us specific instructions as to what we are to accomplish. We're to reach the current generation with the message of Christ and train them as to how to do the same thing we're doing. We're to invest, to reach out to the Nineveh of today. In our world, day by day looks more like Nineveh did, a very wicked, vile place that needs a Savior. And we need to reach out. I hope we can all agree on that. So, just like I said, we're very similar to Jonah. We've been given marching orders. By the direction of the Holy Spirit, God raises up leaders in the church. Leaders that we're supposed to follow. And through the same Spirit, His Word works in each of us to confirm His direction. So we can all be headed to the same place to accomplish that task that He's given us. It seems really simple in theory, right? It's simple on paper. Isn't that the saying we use? Seems simple on paper. But it's not. You know why? Because just like Jonah, we have disobedient hearts. We like to chase our own wants. We like to put self in front of God. Sometimes, just like Jonah, God will ask us to do things and we won't be sure about whether or not we want to. Maybe it'll be something we've never seen, never done before. Maybe something that we, just like Jonah, we really don't want to do. And so we don't listen. And our mission suffers. So often we continue in our comfort zone, ignoring God. We respond just like Jonah and say, no, I won't do it. We pretend to be ignorant of what he wants. Any way you slice it, it's just simply disobedience. You know, it's just like that phrase I told you I used with my wife earlier. You may not know it, but I do what I want. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to look at our disobedience and view it as talking to God in such a manner, but we do. We do it. Now, I know some of you just said, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not in the belly of anything like Jonah. To that I say this, the church is one body. We've talked about that over and over and over again. And if you just made the statement that this group of people is not in the belly of anything, you're sadly mistaken. You know, I've heard people say over and over again, yeah, we've got problems at the church, but we've seen problems happen before. And they'll go away. We just have to give it time. To that I say, wake up. You're not seeing a hard time. You're seeing the judgment of an almighty God for a disobedient heart. That, my friend, is very different than going through a hard time. Very different. You know, Jonah had a choice. Some people don't see it that way. They don't look at the fact that Jonah actually had a choice, but he did. When you say, well, what was his choice? He had the choice to cry out to his God and ask for mercy. On the other hand, he could have chose to die in the belly of a stinky fish. He had a choice. He called upon the Lord, and he was granted that mercy. He was given a second chance, only this time he was obedient to God. He took that message to Nineveh, and the city was saved because they listened to God. What you need to see this morning is that this group is faced with the same decision that Jonah had to make. Repent and be obedient to God, or die in the belly of a stinky situation. God's given a task. The question becomes, do we repent from that disobedient heart and continue as God already instructed? Or do we transition into a social club and eventually die. You know, at the leadership meeting on Friday, folks thought that I have a bit of a negative message. And I want you to know this morning that I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be honest. And I know we've talked about it. But I'm telling you this morning that everything coupled together, we need to decide what direction we're headed. What will it be? That's the question of the morning. What will it be? Will you stand with me? As you stand, I ask that you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I want you to know something, that He loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that every single one of us have sinned and that sin separates us from God. But Jesus died to pay the penalty so we didn't have to. He died to pay the penalty for each of us individually. But He didn't stop there. 3 days later, He rose from the grave having conquered death. He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, and He sent the Spirit of God to lead each one of us. And right now this morning, I'm calling on the Spirit of God to lead this group of people. If you don't know Christ, let today be the day of your salvation. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you more about it. All you have to do is ask. Let's pray. Father God, I come before You this morning. I come before You nothing more than a humble servant seeking Your direction, asking You to inspire this group of believers as I've asked over and over. I ask You to lead. I ask You to guide. Father, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for Your Son. There's nothing in this world that's more important to me. And You've placed in my heart that desire to take that message to others. Not because I'm concerned about numbers, because I'm concerned about lives. I'm concerned about the Nineveh that surrounds us. The dying group that exists everywhere. I'm concerned with the direction that You've given us and accomplishing that direction. Father, I ask that You lead. It's in Jesus' name I come to You. Amen. This altar's open to you if you need to pray this morning, if you have business with God.